2 Samuel chapter 19. So David's son Absalom has risen up against him. He got an army, became the king, tried to kill his father David, but David's men then fought with the men of Absalom and they won the victory and Absalom's been killed. And now David is so upset. He's crying, "My son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for you, O Absalom, my son," even though Absalom had tried to kill him. It just shows the great love of David, even for his enemies. And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king's weeping and mourning for Absalom." And the victory that day was turned into mourning to the people, for the people heard that day how the king was so grieved for his son. And the people got stealthily out of the city and into it, because they acted as if they were ashamed, as if they had been defeated in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." And Joab came into the house to the king and said, "You've shamed this day the faces of all your servants who this day have saved your life, and the lives of your sons and of your daughters, and the lives of your wives and concubines, in that it seems that you love your enemies and hate your friends. For you have declared this day that you regard neither princes nor servants. This day I realize that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then you'd have been happy. So get up, go forth, and speak to the hearts of your servants. For I swear by Yahweh that if you don't go out, there will not remain with you this night one man, and that will be worse to you than all the evil that befell you from your youth until now." Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, "Behold, the king is sitting in the gate." And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled, every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, delivered us from the Philistines, but now he's fled the land because of Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed to be king over us, is dead in battle. So why don't we speak a word about bringing the king back?" And King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar of the priests, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to speak of bringing the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? You are my brothers, you are my bones and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king?" So you see how fickle people are. That is, they change their loyalty very easily. One minute they're all for David, think he's wonderful. The next minute they're all for Absalom. Then they're now all for David again. And we're going to soon read that they're then going to support other people who try to become king. Just like the people shouting out to Jesus, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then a couple of days later, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then a bit later after that, not even 2 months later, Peter's preaching and they think, "Oh, Peter's wonderful." And the Jews can't even put their hand on Peter because they fear the crowds. So we mustn't be like that, just wandering. One minute we're Christian, the next minute we're not. One minute we really love Jesus with all our heart, the next minute we're cold to him. This isn't how we should be. In any relationship, you look for stability. And that's what, of course, God wants of us. And that's surely what we want to give. And David then goes on, "And tell Amasa, aren't you of my bone and of my flesh? You are going to be captain of the army in the place of Joab." He's really angry because Joab has killed his son Absalom, even though Joab has led the army for him and been so loyal to him. "And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even like the heart of one man, so that they replied to the king, 'Please come back, you and all your servants.' So the king returned, came over Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over the Jordan River. And Shimei, the Benjamite, came down quickly with the men of Judah to meet King David." He's the one who had thrown rocks at David and cursed him. And David had forgiven him. And he was throwing the rocks at David because, of course, David should have been stoned to death for what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. "And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with Shimei, and Ziba the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. And they went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's family and to do what he thought good. And Shimei fell down before the king as he came over the Jordan and said to the king, "Please let my lord not impute sin to me. Please don't remember what your servant did perversely the day that my lord the king fled Jerusalem. Please may the king not lay it to his heart." So this man says, "Please impute righteousness to me. Count me as if I'm righteous. Don't count sin to me." And when David sinned with Bathsheba, he wrote in the Psalms that blessed is the man, that's David, unto whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So he'd been forgiven by grace and had been counted righteous by God, although he wasn't. And now someone comes to him and asks him to do that to them. "Please don't count me as a sinner. Count me as righteous." So of course he naturally must say to him, "Yes, sure, I count you as righteous." And so we've sinned really badly, and we've been forgiven by God, and we must forgive others and show others the grace and love that we've been shown by God. Unfortunately, when David was about to die, he tells Solomon to make sure that he kills Shimei. So you see, you can forgive somebody at one point, but then later on, you can't keep up that forgiveness. Sometimes we can't, and we've got to make sure that we do, because God's forgiveness is eternal. So Shimei says, "Your servant knows that I have sinned." Well, that's exactly what David had said to Nathan when he's confronted about what he'd done with Uriah and Bathsheba. He says, "I have sinned." And now another man says it to him, "I've sinned. Therefore, behold," Shimei said, "I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries unto me? Should any man be put to death this day in Israel? Do not I know for sure that I am this day king over Israel?" Therefore the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him. Now really, what he said later to his son Solomon, "Make sure you kill Shimei," was really breaking his promise. So you see how David, when he died, was not really perfect, shall we say, and he was actually quite weak in his attitudes. And so it just shows that you're not perfect when you die. We are saved by grace. We're never going to get to the point of perfection. We've got to remember that about other people who might irritate us. Well, if they're believers, we must believe they will also be in the kingdom, even if they die in weakness. Mephibosheth, son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he'd not dressed himself properly, nor trimmed his beard, or washed his clothes from the day the king had left the place until this day when he returned in peace. And it happened, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said to him, "Why didn't you come with me, Mephibosheth?" He replied, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, 'I will saddle my donkey, and I will ride on it and go to the king, because I'm lame.'" I couldn't walk without assistance. "And my servant slandered me to you, but you, my lord, are like an angel of God. Do what is good in your eyes. For all of my father's house," that Saul's family, "were but dead men before you, but you set me among those who ate at your own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king?" And the king said to him, "Why do you speak to me any more about these matters? You and Ziba divide the land." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him take it all, for as much as my lord the king has returned in peace to his own house." And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over the river Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Barzillai was very old, about 80 years old. He provided the king with sustenance while he was lying at Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. And the king said to Barzillai, "You come over with me, and I'll feed you with me in Jerusalem." And Barzillai said to the king, "How long do I have to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? Today I'm 80 years old, and I can't even recognize between good and evil. I can't even taste what I eat or what I drink. I can't hear any more the voice of singers, men nor women. So why then should I yet be a burden to my lord the king? I'll just go with you a little way over Jordan. Why should the king recompense me with such a reward?" Let me, I pray, please just return, that I may die in my own town and be buried by the grave of my father and the grave of my mother. But let my servant Chimham go over with my lord the king, and you can give him whatever you think right. The king replied, Chimham shall come over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good to you. Whatever you want from me, I'll do for you. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. And the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king. So see, now everyone's so relieved that David's back, and that the vain Absalom is not going to be their king, but Absalom had bent the heart, we're told, of the men of Israel. They had all been persuaded he was a good man and David was a bad man, and now they realise what a bad decision that was. And David's true friends come out and support him. And that's how we should be, because David is like Jesus, and these faithful to David are like us, who are faithful to Jesus in whatever situation we're in. And all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, why have our brothers, the men of Judah, as it were, stolen your way and have brought the king and his family over the Jordan River? And all the men of Judah replied to the men of Israel, because the king is related to us. Why then are you upset about this matter? Have we eaten anything at the king's cost, or has he given us any gifts or bribes? The men of Israel replied to the men of Judah and said, we have 10 parts in the king, and we also have more right in David than you have. So why then did you despise us, that our advice should not be first heard in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. So now they're all falling over each other to prove how loyal they were to David. Just shows, as I say, how weak is the human heart. That man's heart is just not stable of itself. One minute we feel one way, the next minute we feel some other way. And then we want to show, like they wanted to show to Absalom how loyal they were. Now they want to show to David how loyal they are. Whereas our heart must be settled, as David often says in the Psalms, so that we're not wandering around faithful to him one minute, not the next, but solidly devoted to him.